We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to another BuzzBeat episode. This is Richie, and we are recording a, I guess you can call it a post-game recap, the morning after the Hornets game with the Celtics. I'll be joined by Darian, also known as Trust the Buzz, as he makes yet another appearance on the podcast. Darian, how are you?
Doing well. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Of course. It's fun to do solo podcasts, but having a conversation with just me talking back to the camera just feels very odd sometimes.
So. I don't think it ever gets old. As far as you're just always like, oh, it would be better if there was someone there.
Yeah. It's like you're debating yourself, which is very odd. Before we dive into this episode, I wanted to remind everyone to check out our Substack for ad-free episode, early access to episodes. The website is buzzbeat.substack.com. Lastly, be sure to take a minute out of your day and review the podcast on Apple or Spotify. So the plan for this episode is to recap the 118-104 loss to Boston and then get into some news. I mean, it's not new news, but the news about LaMelo's injury and kind of the implications with that. I was actually at the game last night, and there are just way too many Celtics fans in Charlotte. So I know the Hornets play again in Boston, but it felt like it was in Boston. So much green, every basket, every dunk, every 3-point shot that went in, just full on cheers for the Boston crowd. It's hard to watch. It's a little bit embarrassing, and I know that the Boston crowd travels very well, but it's also, you can almost see like kids like just somehow being Jason Tatum fans, and they just, you know, gravitate towards him. Luckily, this team was not blown out like in the first quarter, so it wasn't like crazy from the get-go, but you definitely heard the cheers from the Boston faithful. I could have made for a longer night had the Hornets not, you know, stayed kind of in distance the first half. So I think the Hornets offense in the first half, the first two quarters, were able to kind of stay close, but the luck kind of ran out in the second half and things weren't falling. And the Celtics offense just was humming like normal, best offense in the NBA. And I think offensive rebounds were an issue for Charlotte during moments of this game, which started out early for Boston. On the night, the Celtics were 6 of 14 on second chance opportunities. And, you know, going into this game, you never thought that the Hornets would be able to win this, but you know, applaud them for at least staying close for the first 24 minutes of the game. But let's get to some observations that we had about this game, and we can kind of just bounce back and forth. You know, what stood out to you? I wanted to highlight Grant Williams' inside-out game. I think with Richards out, you had him starting at the small ball five. You know, obviously, Mark Williams has been out since December, so the center rotations is very limited right now, and he has the ability to be physical down on the block, even though he's undersized. He has the ability to shoot the ball from behind the arc, and I think if he can just keep the defense honest by taking at least five shots per game from behind the arc, it's going to get teams to kind of close out on him. And I think one of the more evident aspects of his game last night was his pump fake, getting guys off the ground, off the floor, and he's able to drive in off those and back players down in the post. You know, just his physical style shows up on both ends of the court. And he was 2 of 4 on above the break threes and 6 of 7 inside the restricted area. So, you know, Grant Williams to me was one of the few bright spots for the Hornets last night. And I think a lot of people assume he's not a versatile player. He's definitely not a guy that can get above the rim, but he has the inside out game or the outside in game, and he draws players out. I think he needs to be more aggressive in what he did last night and pumping and getting inside. I think when you see that from him and not just a guy that shoots from behind the arc, you get the best Grant Williams.
For sure. I agree. Kind of to piggyback off what you said, I really like having Grant Williams on this team because he kind of almost gives me what I wanted from PJ and also a little bit what I've wanted from Miles. So like from PJ, I wanted an inside out game. I wanted him to be able to show that he has a presence on the inside. He doesn't also need the ball as much. I feel like the way Grant Williams doesn't kind of need that time to maybe dribble a little bit as it did seem like PJ did, unless he was shooting a three, he would just shoot it. But other than that, it did seem like he needed like to do a couple dribble moves before anything could happen. I feel like Grant Williams is maybe already thinking like, this is what I'm going to do if I get the ball. I think he kind of sees the floor a little better. And that's not something we were getting from PJ. And I know people go back and forth, but I said, even before PJ was ever traded, I said that, you know, it's a situational thing, especially, you know, him ended up being traded for Grant Williams. It's a matter of just who's in a better situation for them. It's not necessarily who's always better, because they're going to have their own traits that are better in other ways. But I do like what we're getting from Grant Williams because, like I said, I wanted that from PJ and we just weren't quite getting it. And then from the defensive end, being small but being able to kind of guard up, guard down, that's what I've wanted from Miles. That's what I've seen from Miles. We've seen him do it before. It's just not as often as I would like it to be. Now, there's something I've been saying probably since a little before the trade deadline was it's really hard to say anything about any player on this team without it feeling like, without people thinking you're trying to etch it in stone, because there's so much going on. You don't want to say anything because it's like there's a lot of factors. This team's not really playing for anything, so is that why Miles is maybe not showing a defense that we've seen him give us in the past? It's not like we're asking him to be an elite defender. But Grant Williams, I do think, is kind of doing almost both of their roles kind of combined in one, and he does have those ability, which we saw when he was in Boston. He has the ability to sometimes he'll just drop 23 and seem like he just will make every shot. And then sometimes he will only have 4 points, but he's out rebounding Jared Allen on multiple possessions down, you know, towards the end of the game. So I think he's kind of for Charlotte, at least for me, he's kind of what for Charlotte, what we all kind of envision PJ to be. PJ, I really wanted him to be that guy where wherever we kind of need you tonight, that's what you can do. And Grant Williams, I think, has given us that. It's whether it's the 3-point line, whether it's the leadership, we've seen him early on when he first got traded for, he was kind of uplifting guys. And we saw them come after the game and be like, yeah, it was Grant Williams. He came in at halftime and said, you know, whatever he said. And then at other times, like I said, he's out rebounding the bigger player on the other team, which whether we have Mark Williams, Nick Richards, doesn't matter. We struggle rebounding. It just is what it is. And Grant Williams somehow is able to kind of make up for that to some extent. So I really just like what I've had. And the fact that people don't think he's versatile is insane to me because he's shown that he can do it. He just doesn't always have to do it. And I feel like that's a good role player. I don't have to show you I can do something all the time for the sake of just showing you, worried about what people on Twitter or X say about me. I do it to what the team needs. And I think he's done a really good job so far of just finding that niche that he needs to fill for that game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
And maybe I made that storyline up that people don't think he's versatile, but
I've seen people say like he's not. I've seen people say it.
I can see why they would say that in certain aspects. Sure. There's a question here from Regulator. Is Grant better for this Hornets team than PJ? And I think you kind of just spoke to that you do think he is better than PJ, or at least better for this team than PJ. I think the one defining quality that Grant clearly has over PJ is just having been in, been on a winning team before, being a vocal guy, being a guy that can kind of rally the troops around. And obviously with a team that is struggling, right now, it's very difficult to kind of motivate these guys to play very hard. But I think he kind of holds the other guys accountable on both ends of the court. And I think starting the season fresh with Grant Williams with a better roster next season, I think we're going to get a better idea of how his leadership plays a role moving forward. I think one thing, they have very similar roles, very similar play styles. A lot of things they can do are very similar. But the one thing that I do love about Grant Williams is I trust him more as a defender when you do go small. I like PJ as a defender. I think he's got some versatility on both ends defensively too. But I think when it comes to guys that are just tougher, stronger, and height-wise, you're just going to have it over Grant Williams anyway. But I think the physicality that he has on the block, there was this one play in the second half. He ended up getting a foul on Porzingis, but Porzingis was trying to back him down, and he really didn't make a ton of ground. He had to like lower his shoulder and his head into Grant Williams, and Grant just tried to like tie up the ball, but ended up getting a foul. But I think that goes to show like this guy is several inches taller than Grant Williams, a bigger guy, but he was not able to make any ground. So yeah, I think overall Grant is a better fit for this Hornets team. Nothing against PJ, but I think the versatility, the leadership, the vocal ability, and just the physicality allows him to play more often with more variances from the other team and just being able to guard different types of players.
Right. And then, I mean, really quick, we can kind of look at what PJ is doing defensively for the Mavericks. That's probably some of the better consistent defense he's played in a while. His offensive numbers, I don't think are kind of what you would want them to be, but defensively he's been pretty good for them. And that's because that's kind of really all they need him to do. They like the scoring that he can provide, but they really just need him to play defense. And it seems like it's working out for him. So it's just a matter of just being in the right place. And I do agree with what you said, that Grant kind of just offers us just something that we didn't have. And PJ was more similar to the pack, if that makes any sense. Grant is kind of more of an outlier, which is something, we needed because everybody was too similar. So it's just a matter of just being in the right place, right time.
Yeah. All right. The other observation that I made from last night's game was Miles Bridges and his driving ability. I think, just from my observation this season, that Bridges has lost a step athletically. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, like just getting up off the floor, we're just not seeing that as often this season. But I do think that bully ball on drives is still there for him. And, the one thing that I do have to applaud him for, I don't think he's amazing on defense, but he is tasked with defending Tatum, defending some of these better guys as the primary guy more often than not, and expending a lot of energy on that end and still being able to go show that energy and effort on the opposite end actually speaks to maybe how his conditioning is a whole lot better than I would have thought it would have been. I expected, a year off from basketball, he wouldn't be at this place to where he can play X amount of minutes. He's leading the NBA in minutes per game at 37.8. And I believe the Hornets' lack of depth on this roster plays into that, but he's been durable. And so to get to the hoop, to create contact on drives, do those Euro steps, and still be able to finish is something that, you know, I do have to applaud from Miles Bridges. And I think if he can just be like passable from behind the arc, I think that opens up a lot of the driving lanes too. And, you know, it's very hard to judge these last 40 games of the season when there's been injuries and all this stuff. And he's been having to put in a role where he's having to take a whole lot of shots for this team. And it kind of puts him in a position to where, you know, he's like the last ditch effort. You know, I will say his shot selection hasn't been awesome, but I do think that his driving attempts in this game were something to kind of highlight and note. And acrobatic finishes, powerful finishes. He did miss a couple of easy ones, but overall, very, very good getting into the paint. And so that's just something that I wanted to highlight from this game last night.
Yeah, for sure. And to your point, I think that I feel for some reason, maybe because it's just fresh in my memory, but I do feel like he's missing a lot more easy ones this year than years past. But I think to your point, he's probably exhausted, you know.
Yeah.
He, you know, you think you're, you know, jumping off at a certain rate or certain trajectory, and it's like, oh, I'm short, and it's too late to really adjust or just, you know, it just lose the ball sometimes. Yeah, I think his on-ball defense is good. It's really just his off-ball defense that I worry about a little bit. However, I think I said it earlier, it's just really hard to judge anything for this team this year because there's so many factors. Can you get someone who's worried about a contract to care about off-ball defense on a team that's lost 60 games or 50 games? I don't know if you can, especially when more than likely he's getting paid for his offensive talent anyway. So, yeah, I do agree that he exerts a lot of energy. He's been very durable for us forever. So I think that, that's just a really good point. And I kind of would expect to see maybe his defense, I mean, his offense or his ability to really just be athletic kind of pop back next year. That's kind of my hope. But at the end of the day, we've seen the way he plays. I think he has done a good job over the course of this season, kind of almost realizing that. And I feel like he's tinkered his game in certain ways to kind of help that because he knows that he may not just have the ability that he used to. And I don't think it's gone forever. I just think missing a year of basketball is just not there. And I feel like he's adjusted his game accordingly. And if anything, I'm glad to see the bully ball there because we needed that. And he seems like he's almost better than ever at it, or at least is on the road to get better than ever at it, because sometimes I'm really impressed about what he can do.
Yeah, overall for the game, he was 7 of 12 at the rim. That's 58%, which is not great. But in the first half, he was 4 of 6. So I think maybe the tired legs kind of play a role the later you get into the game. And there's just not a lot of players on this team that can play a lot of minutes. And he's one of the few guys on this roster that's healthy, durable. And you almost feel bad for him for playing 38 minutes a game on this team. So like when you want to empty the bench for Charlotte, like it's really emptying the bench. There's not a lot of guys that can kind of step in and fill those roles. Last thing I want to make a mention of before we get to the LaMelo news is just the Boston Celtics 3-point shooting. Like they get them up at a crazy rate. They are already hard to defend because they have a top 5 player in the NBA in Jason Tatum. And last night they did a good job of generating switches with Trey Mann guarding Tatum. And even when there wasn't a mismatch, like he's one of the best guys in the NBA that can just size up his opponent, drill the 3-point shot off the bounce. And I needed to look this up to kind of confirm my eye test. But for 3-pointers after 3 to 6 dribbles, where do you think he ranks in the NBA in terms of just total attempts off 3 to 6 dribbles on from behind the arc?
I'm trying to envision a Jason Tatum shot in my head to see how often. I would probably say top 5. I want to go top 5.
Yeah, top 5. Yeah. He's actually second in the NBA behind Luka. Luka has 190.
Now that I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah. But he's shooting 37% on those attempts. So like he can break down the defense off the dribble, pull up and make those shots, and he does it at a pretty high volume and a pretty high efficiency. But the bigger thing is like there's other guys that can knock down. That's what really destroys the Hornets, is when you've got Porzingis, Horford, Sam Hauser can get, you know, get in on the act and make these 3-point shots. So I thought the Celtics did a good job of collapsing the defense. Pritchard did a very good job of driving and turning heads and getting players out of position, and he passes it out to the corner for 3-point shooters. And it feels like the Hornets have always had an issue with defending the 3-point shot, but I think a lot of that starts with the initial action and not being able to contain the dribble. And Hauser was amazing last night, hit 7 3-point shots, all of them without a single dribble. So all these catch and shoot threes, because he's wide open, he's going to take them. Mm-hmm. So I think with the Celtics, they're going to be a favorite here in the East. I think when the defense is clicking, when the team is healthy, and you know, the offense kind of takes care of itself. But I think when the defense is clicking, and they've been a very good defensive team, we saw the other night in the second half against the Pelicans where they just shut them down. So that is a very difficult task coming into this game, and just defending all the 3-point shooters, because it's almost like if they have a 3-point shot, they're going to put it up, and they have tons of guys that can put it in at a pretty good rate.
Yeah, I mean, not to make this a Celtics podcast, but I do like how they come into Charlotte and they treat it as if they're playing the Knicks, the Bucks, as in they worked the Hornets. Because as you said, we struggled defending the three as is, but they actually made us struggle defending the three. It wasn't just by happen. It wasn't just because lack of talent on this team or IQ. It was they ran good plays, and that's what got their players open. And they didn't. I feel like they didn't take off, you know, their foot off the gas, as we see like a team like when the Nuggets, when they play us. Jokic doesn't play till the fourth quarter. Essentially, he just stands there, and then the fourth quarter comes, and then he gets like almost a fourth quarter triple double. So, yeah, I'm very impressed with the Celtics for sure, and I agree that they're probably going to be a major problem in the East. But I mean, it's a good test for the Hornets, because I do feel like a lot of teams come to Charlotte or play Charlotte and kind of take, you know, foot off the gas and just play basketball and beat us. Last night, it just seemed like the Celtics were playing, you know, legit bat, like as if they were really preparing for the playoffs, which maybe go to what we were talking about before we started recording about the how they're really so far ahead in the East. They really could have sat everybody, but hey, yeah, they have championship aspirations. So might as well get the practice in.
Yeah, they're 11.5 games up on the Bucks in the second seed. That's just ridiculous. So, yeah, clear favorites in the East here. Let's get on to the LaMelo news. It was recently announced that the Hornets have ruled out LaMelo for the remainder of the season due to his ankle injury and not responding the way that they wanted it. I'm sure there's other factors in play, but it's definitely concerning that he's only played 58 combined games in the last two seasons. And we have a question from Substack that revolves around Ball, but I'm not going to read it because I think we're going to save it for like a separate episode altogether. I think Brian and Spencer want to talk about that in more detail, but there are definitely people out there questioning the extension that he signed last offseason, and that kicks in next year, 5 years, $204 million. And at the time, I think anybody was for it. I think it was the right thing to do to secure his services. But you cannot blame anyone now, I think, that have kind of like turned sour on this contract because of his health. So, Darren, I'm going to pass it to you first. Where are you at in terms of like the panic meter when it comes to LaMelo, when it comes to his ankle, when it comes to his contract? What are your overall thoughts on that?
As honest as possible, I feel like if the team – I have two different feelings. So, with the team being in the current state in which we are in, which you could say LaMelo is part of the problem with that, I'm not too concerned. As far as we had other injuries, we just revamped the team, we got a new owner, we're about to get a new GM. I mean, we already got a vice president of basketball operations. We're about to get a new coach. Just so much is changing. I'm not too concerned, because it's just, yes, I would like him to build some chemistry with the guys, but it's just, I wouldn't want LaMelo has some of the worst injury luck, because like was it last year he stepped on the guy's ankle on the sideline, so like things like that happens. With that kind of stuff happening to LaMelo, it's just like, do you really want to risk it? So I get the idea of maybe him not playing, but I do get why people are upset. Like, there are fans who just want to watch basketball, they want to watch their favorite player play, they want to watch their favorite team be good, so I get why they're upset. But like, think about it from the basketball side of things, it's just hard for me to really fault the Hornets, just because there's so much going on. And what would be worse is we have a Joel Embiid situation where everybody's, he got to play. Then he plays, and then he actually gets hurt. And then the 76ers fall from second to what they're in the play-in now. I don't remember exactly where they are. Now, granted, we didn't have those kind of stakes, But you just don't want to see him get hurt, considering he is going to be the engine for this team going forward. If this team was even slightly better, and let's just say we were in the play-in, I would be pretty – that's why I can see the other side. I would be pretty worried because he just can't stay healthy. He just cannot stay healthy. I've mentioned before, I don't know where us being bad and so much happening around the team ends and where his actual injury starts. I can't tell. I don't know if that's because of the communication we've gotten in the past from the team, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was either right after he got injured the second time this season or maybe 2 weeks after. We got a really good update from the team saying, this is what's going on. This is what we're testing. This is what the timetable looks like, at least for us to reevaluate him. And then that never happened again. So it's just really hard to tell just where that – what's true or not. I do believe he's actually injured. I do believe that he probably actually wants to come back. But I also understand why they won't let him come back, but I also get why fans are upset and just want to see him play. So I get it all. The Hornets are just – unfortunately, we're in purgatory for another, season, it feels like. And then I feel even worse going into next year, even as, a fan, even though this team's not good, I feel worse going into next year because we don't know what to expect. We saw coming into this year, Melo had like a terrible first 10 games, if I'm not mistaken. They let him kind of take the slack for it. And then Steve Clifford comes out on the 12th game and is like, well, he didn't start playing until preseason. And it was like, well, we knew that it would have made more sense. We just thought he was just not good. I mean, we knew he was good, but you know what I mean?
So not playing well.
It's just really weird. We're in a really weird situation. The only reason I'm not panicked is because it's not a good team. There was no reason to necessarily bring him back as far as basketball reasons. There's so much change. I just don't see the point of putting him out there. But like I said, if this team was good, if we were where the Hawks are now, I would be worried and I would be concerned. And I choose the Hawks because they're not that far ahead of us, but and they're still in the play-in. I would be more upset because you do have something to lose. You do have somewhere you're trying to go. And as we have somewhere we're trying to go now, we're still at the bottom. We're not your regular tanking team. We're not your regular bad team. But, I mean, that's just kind of where we are. So I have hope as far as overall, but I am just slightly concerned because we're going to expect – two people who didn't play all year this season, come into next season and almost hit the ground running. You can't really afford a slow start considering we're trying to make next year's the playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to accept anything less. And I don't think anybody's going to care how they do it. So it's just going to be rough to expect two guys who missed at very prominent positions, who missed all season this season, to come in next year, hit the ground running, gel with the new guys, gel with whatever rookie we get, gel with Brandon Miller. Because Melo and Mark hasn't played with this version of Brandon Miller. They've played with off the bench Brandon Miller coming in for Gordon Hayward, Brandon Miller, but they haven't played with this Brandon Miller. Miles Bridges' role is going to look different, so it's going to take him time. It's just the effects coming off of the Melo ball injury is also worrisome, but overall, I'm just not concerned because we are bad, but I see all the red flags and I get it. But I'm just not concerned because we're not good. What about you?
No, yeah, the situation plays a lot into the context of how I view this. If the Hornets, like you said, were fighting for a play-in spot and he could not make it and they ruled him out for the season, I think maybe I'd be more concerned about the injury. I think maybe part of the reason why he was shut down, I don't know why they just didn't make that call a little bit sooner. It just felt like they were kind of stringing us along in terms of like, oh, he could still play. And you saw those videos out there that, the pregame stuff didn't necessarily look all that bad, but maybe there was some like internal discomfort with his ankle that we just didn't know about. But yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I do think though, like if he has another one of these seasons where he plays 30 games, I think being able to trade LaMelo, obviously the chances of that go down significantly, or the value that you get back is just not that great. So I do not blame anyone for entertaining the idea that maybe they need to trade this guy sooner rather than later. I don't know if I'm quite there yet. The Mark Williams thing is interesting too. You mentioned him. Like, I don't know who I'm more concerned about. Mark Williams is back or LaMelo's ankle. LaMelo's had more of a history with the ankle injuries popping up. Mark Williams being a big guy in the back injury, that was kind of mysterious as well, because you know, they had that report about his back being injured. He came back for a game. And then after that, it was kind of shut down for the season. I guess the one silver lining that I do have, if you want to call it a silver lining, looking on this season, you know, regardless of what happens to LaMelo's health, I think this will become Brandon Miller's team sooner rather than later. I think there is a world where I can envision both LaMelo and Brandon Miller being on the same level. But to me, Miller is in prime position to take over as the number one guy for this team. He's a guy that you can run offense through with the ball in his hands. He's a guy that can play off ball and get things going off movement shooting. I think when you think of 1A guys around the league, not to say that he's going to be a Jason Tatum or a Paul George, like he's a guy that has all these different three-level scoring. They're also available, unlike LaMelo. They can play on both ends of the court. And I think if Brandon Miller can just get some weight on his body, he's going to be in a prime position to take over the game in a variety of different ways. So not to say that, you know, this is all positive news, but looking on this season, I know he's just a rookie, but I think this is going to be Brandon Miller's team and not necessarily LaMelo's team.
There's definitely a path for that. One thing I will say about that is I feel like people take, maybe it's just me. I don't take this is this guy's team as seriously as some other people. So, and it's not, and also the role is not the same to me. It's not like, for example, when Kobe, after Shaq, Kobe had, you know, Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom, those guys, and it was his team. He had 30 points. They had maybe 15. This day and age, you can have it be this guy's team, but the second guy can still be LaMelo, averaging 21 and 9, which is basically around what he averages anyway. So is it really that different? You would expect his numbers to go down because you have someone who's offensively gifted as Brandon Miller, who can score in so many ways. I don't know. I agree with what you're saying. I definitely do agree with that. I just want people to kind of, I know when people hear that, they go, oh my God, they want to trade LaMelo. It's like, no, LaMelo can still be on the team, still be the superstar that we think he is. It's just that we're going to rely on Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller is the one that's here all the time. LaMelo can turn around and change all of that if healthy. But, I mean, you can't blame anybody for thinking that they're just looking more forward to Brandon Miller. Yes, it's only his rookie year. LaMelo got hurt his rookie year. So it's you're not going to sit here and blame it on injuries. You see what LaMelo can do. I just want people to understand that Brandon Miller, this can still be Brandon Miller's team, or he could be the number one guy, but LaMelo still does what he does now. He has the ability to probably, if healthy, you know, score 25 and do more. But I think that for the team, probably what would be better is LaMelo at that like 21, 22 points per game and 9 assists and 7 rebounds. I think that's better for the team overall. I don't think you want to limit Brandon Miller to only scoring 19 points. Because we saw, I can't remember what year was it, but there was a year where LaMelo, Gordon, and Terry all averaged 20. And I think that was probably one of our better years. So it can be done. It's just my point. Everybody, the way this team is structured, especially as we talked about with Grant Williams earlier, him kind of being able to fit in certain places and not really – he doesn't have to always score 20 points. Everybody can get their points and the team still be good. I think what we've been doing in the past is kind of trading off one for the other. But I think the way this team is, with the talent these guys have and the way they play, everybody – Brandon Miller can still be the guy to score 25. LaMelo can still score his 23, which that's what he's been doing anyway as kind of the guy. And Miles Bridges can still get his 19 to 20, which is what he's been doing anyway. So I think there's a path for it. But yeah, for sure, you're definitely going to look for Brandon Miller to be the guy just because he's the one here. I think that's just simple. That's just simple math. Whoever plays more games, you're going to look at them as the person for the team. Until Brandon Miller proves otherwise or LaMelo gets healthy. Because if LaMelo plays those, like he did those 9 games, then obviously it's his team because he was doing like 30 and 11. So, you know, we just have to see it. But I think there's a path for everybody to do kind of what they set out to do, and then it worked just fine.
I wonder what it is with like Lonzo Ball and LaMelo Ball just having these extended periods of like injuries. Like, I don't know what it is. Is there something with the Ball DNA that they just can't withstand?
And then Jello just got hurt not too long, because I think he was playing in the Mexican League, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right.
He got hurt, and then he had to come back to America and just rehab. He couldn't do it down there. So, yeah, I don't know. I do not know. I've heard people who kind of are more in tune, who kind of kept up with the Ball family through the history, have said that they were kind of pushed to be focused more on basketball than like the physical side of it. I didn't pay that close attention to what they were doing. I watched their little show, but that was kind of it. So I don't know. But a lot I've heard that from a lot of people, that LeVar was very focused on what can you do on the court. We'll worry about the weights. We'll worry about the endurance and all that later. And I wonder if it's coming back to bite him. Some people just say it's the shoes. I don't know. But there definitely is something to it with all three of them injured a majority of the time.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Darren, before you start wrapping up here?
I'm just glad the season's almost over. Yeah. that's really it. I am excited to see this team next year. I know I said I was a little nervous. I am excited to see what the team does. I'm really excited to see what this offseason looks like. I have no idea who to pick in the draft. I know who I would want, but it's just you really could pick anybody and be fine. So I'm really interested to see what way the Hornets go. Because last year Brandon Miller was the best fit to me. And then some people wanted Scoot, which was fine, because I saw the star potential in Scoot as well, even though he didn't play this well this season. This year it's really anybody. Anybody can feel a need for this team. No one is just like, oh, I can't believe you picked this guy second and this guy third. It's just they're all kind of there. So really interested to just see how the rest of the season, the offseason pans out.
Yeah, I need to brush up on my draft prospects, but I always tell my listeners I don't get into that until May. So the Hornets probably could go any different direction, and obviously the lottery is going to play a big role in where they select.
Isn't that in May? That's coming up, right? It's usually in May, right?
Yeah. I feel like it's like in the first round of the playoffs sometime. Some kind of they do it before a playoff game or something like that. But we'll see how that goes. Hornets currently 18-57, third worst record in the East. I don't know overall where they're at, but they're going to be up there, and hopefully they get lucky again and can draft in the top three. I don't know the guys that are in the top three, but hopefully that's kind of where they land. So we appreciate everyone for tuning in to another BuzzBeat episode. I wanted to thank our guest once again, Trust the Buzz, Darian, for joining, and we will talk to you guys later.
See ya.